Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today the Church celebrates one of the four evangelists and one of the 72 disciples, St. Luke the evangelist, the author of the third gospel from the four gospels in the New Testament. That's why the Church chose the gospel today from Luke chapter 10, which is the commission of the 72. As you know, the Lord first chose 12 and He sent them and gave him some commandments. And He chose 12 because the number of the tribes of Israel were 12 tribes. That's why He chose 12. So as if the 12 tribe represent the Church of the Old Testament, and the 12 apostles represent the Church of the New Testament. Then there was a council called Sanhedrin, and this council, they chose 6 persons from every tribe. So this council was formed from 72. And the Lord, in the second commission, He chose 72 as the same number of the Sanhedrin. In the Gospel of St. Luke, you find that it's mentioned 70, but in the Coptic translation, it is 72. But some Gospels, they made approximation to mention 70 instead of 72. But according to the Coptic translation of the Gospel of St. Luke, the Lord sent 72, the same number of the Sanhedrin. And in Luke chapter 10, we read about the commission or the commandment of the 72 disciples, and St. Luke was one of them according to the holy tradition of the Church. So let's reflect on some points. The first point, the Lord said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And in spite of this, He sent them 2 by 2. So when He sent them 2 by 2, means they were sent into 36 places. But if He sent them 1 by 1, He would send them into 72 areas. But in spite of the fact that the Lord said the harvest is great, actually He insisted to send them 2 by 2. Why? Because as we read in the Old Testament, 2 are better than 1. They will support one another. They will strengthen one another. Also, if one starts to fall, the other one will raise him up. The productivity of 2 working together in a spirit of love and humbleness is higher than the sum of the productivity of each one. What I mean, if the productivity of apostle number 1 is that much, and productivity of apostle number 2 that much, so if they work together, their productivity will be much more than the sum of the productivity of apostle 1 and apostle 2. That's what we call synergy. Also, to have 2 serving together, unless there is love and humbleness, there will be a lot of problems and tension. If they are egoistic, Each one will try his word to be done, his will to be done. He will be the leader. But it takes humbleness and it takes love so that two can serve together. So the Lord also sent them two by two in order for each one to deny himself and to know how to work with another servant. And the first commandment he gave them is to pray. He told them, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send out laborers into his harvest. And what the Lord said is very true until today. Until today we see the harvest is truly great, but the laborers and people who are willing to consecrate themselves fully to the ministry are few. And that's why it is important for each one of us to abide by this commandment. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The second commandment, the Lord told them what to expect. They should not expect honor and glory, but they should expect hardships. They should expect tribulation. They should expect persecution. As we read in Sirach, my son, if you presented yourself to serve the Lord, prepare yourself to many afflictions. Prepare yourself to many afflictions and hardship. So the Lord told them, behold, I send you out like lambs among wolves. Can you imagine if there is a flock of lambs goes among another flock of wolves? What will happen? The wolf actually will attack the lamb. Maybe they will devour them and kill them. Saint Ignatius, the disciple of Saint John, he wrote 8 letters. You can find them in the Apostolic Fathers. So in one of his letters, he said something very, very beautiful about this verse. He said, God sent us as lambs among wolves. So the wolf will devour us and eat us. And when they will eat us, the wolf will turn into a lamb. And we saw this in the story of St. Stephen. St. Stephen was a lamb, and the wolf back then was St. Paul before his conversion. And St. Paul witnessed the martyrdom of St. Stephen, and he approved the martyrdom and the stoning of St. Stephen. But this lamb who was killed and martyred was a lamb that actually changed and influenced the heart of St. Paul. And this was one of the goads that pierced his heart. But St. Paul was stubborn at the time, and he did not obey or respond to the kicking of the goads until the Lord appeared to him and said to him, until when you will kick against the goads? And why I said that the martyrdom of St. Stephen was one of the goads that pierced the heart of St. Paul before his conversion, because in his trial, he mentioned St. Stephen, and he mentioned St. Stephen as a martyr who influenced and touched his heart when he approved his martyrdom, because St. Stephen looked like an angel. Then the Lord, after he asked them to pray, and told them to expect affliction and hardships, the Lord told them, if you want to be successful in your ministry, you need to rely only on me. Don't rely on anything else. Don't rely on money. Don't rely on connection. Don't rely on your power or position. That's why he told them, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals. Don't carry any of these things. I want you to rely on me. And when you rely on me and you receive the blessing, then you will know in truth, through this experience, test of faith, you will know that I am He. Relying on the Lord Jesus Christ made Peter and John, when they entered the temple and they found the beggar sitting at the door of the temple. Then Peter said to this beggar, silver and gold we do not have, but what I have I will give you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then this man was crippled. He stood and started to leap from joy. In the church history, one of the patriarchs visited Rome. And in the visit, he started to look at the gold and the silver, all this beautiful decoration in Vatican. So the Pope of Rome said to the patriarch, the visitor, he told him, the time in which Peter said, gold and money we do not have, passed away. So the patriarch replied to him and said, and also the time in which Peter said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, had gone. If when we rely on money, when we rely on connections and not on God, then we'll have no power. But if we don't have money, if we don't have any connection or human connections, but the only source that we have is God, then we will experience the power of God. And this was clear in the life of St. Paul. When he had thorn in the flesh, illness, disease. Some say it was weakness in his vision and ulcers in his body, full ulcers in his eye. And St. Paul prayed and asked God to heal him. He wanted to rely on his physical health. But the Lord told him, no, I will not heal you. My grace is sufficient. I want you to learn how to rely on my grace, not even on your health. And when St. Paul actually relied on the grace of God, he wrote more than half of the New Testament, 14 letters out of 27 books. He relied on God. So in spite of his weak vision, he was able to write more than 50% of the New Testament. And in spite of the weak flesh that has ulcers all over the body, he was able to travel more than any other apostle because he relied on God, not on health, not on money, nothing. Then the Lord told them, focus on your goal. Don't be distracted. Don't greet anyone along the road. And remain in the same house. Don't go from house to house. Why? God wants his disciples to be focused on their mission. My mission is to preach the word of God. My mission is to say to the people, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent. Don't be distracted. And the apostles were very careful not to be distracted. One time, a complaint happened from some widows that they were neglected or ignored in the daily distribution. So the apostles wanted to solve this issue. But all of them agreed that we should not leave the word of God and serve the tables. That's why they appointed the deacons to be in this ministry, so they can devote themselves to serve the word of God. No distraction. Nowadays, we find ourselves distracted with so many activities. And the calling for which God has called us, we don't focus on. Let us learn from this message today how to be focused, to remember for which God called me, for which reason God has called me. He called me to be a preacher of the word, and that's it. He called me to be intercessor of the people before the altar. He called me to serve the people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Then the Lord told them, you are carrying a message of peace and a message of healing. Don't go and force the word of God on anybody. Don't spread the word of God by violence or by sword. No. Any house you enter, first say peace to this house. We are coming to bring the peace of God to you. When you believe in God and when you abide in his words, you will have his peace inside your heart. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. God is the King of peace, and his children are peacemakers. You are carrying a message of peace and a message of healing. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Healing here means healing spiritual illness, physical illness, and psychological illness. The holistic approach. So heal first the spiritual illness and also heal the physical and the psychological illness. But again, the message is the message of peace and a message of healing. What if somebody refused to accept us or refused to heed the word of God? Maybe the people refuse because they are against God, or maybe they think that these apostles, they are coming and they are interested in their money, in their positions. They want to take their belonging. That's why the Lord said, if any city refuses to accept you, then actually go out and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. So wiping off the dust has many meanings. Number one, we are not interested in anything. We did not come to take from you anything. We come to give you the word of God. We come to spend and be spent for you. We are not interested in even the dust that clings to our city. The second meaning of wiping off the dust, meaning this dust will be witness against you, that we came to preach the word of God to you, but you rejected the word of God. That's why we are telling you, but the kingdom, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. So this dust will be witness that we came to preach the word of God to you, but you rejected the word of God. Also, do you remember when the Lord washed the feet of the apostles? So washing the feet of the apostle means he cleansed them from their sins. That is a symbolic meaning. So when they wipe off the dust and the dust remain in the same city, meaning what? Meaning their sins are not forgiven, simply because they did not accept the word of God. That's why they told them, repent, the word of God is at hand. The last point, when the apostle returned and they were joyful because they were able to expel demons, so the Lord said, yes, I give you kingdom to trample on serpents and scorpions. I give you authority over demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And this is a gift from the gifts of the Spirit. Many people rejoice with the gifts of the Spirit. If I have the gift of healing, if I have the gift of miracle, if I have the gift of casting out demons, I will be happy. I'm doing a supernatural thing. But the Lord told them, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice in the gifts of the Spirit. It is said that in the last day, as we read in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to God, in your name we cast out demons. In your name we healed the sick. In your name we performed miracles. But the Lord will tell them, go away from me, you evildoers. So the gifts of the Spirit will not save me. But if I believe in God and focus on my mission, and if I do His will and live the life of repentance, then my name will be written in the book of life. So he told them, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And let us reflect today on this word, whether our names written in heaven or not. Every one of us, on the day of our baptism, our names were written in heaven, in the book of life, because we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And if we abide in His word, and if we followed His teaching, and if we lived the life of repentance, then our name will remain there. But if we turn it our back to God, and if we become antagonistic to His word and to His will, not doing His will, but rather, after we know His will, we do against the will of God, then these people, their name will be taken away from the book of life until they repent and return back to God. May the prayer and blessing of St. Luke the Evangelist, the saint of this day, be with all of us. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.